Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the state of Florida is considered a trapping hotspot for songbirds. Those are lovely. There are tons of them, especially in South Florida, and the demand is high. But keeping migratory songbirds in the U.S. is illegal. A recent National Geographic investigation looks at songbird hunters. These hunters are snatching birds from Florida's forests to become pets and to sing in competitions. Dina Fine-Marin is the wildlife trade investigative reporter at National Geographic. She spent 6 months reporting on the story, following wildlife officers and catching songbird hunters in the act. And she joins us now. Dina, thank you so much.
Great to be here.
What initially sparked your interest to look at Florida songbirds?
Good question. I actually spend a lot of time talking to law enforcement in different states and also in different countries. And Florida just told me this is an issue that's really been heating up for them in recent years. The last 2 years, they've really decided to step up their investigations locally. And they've been working with federal officials who've decided to work undercover on this issue as well for a larger investigation.
Yeah. I mean, at what point did you all of a sudden realize that there is a massive black market for this, that these things are in such high demand?
I think one of the things that really surprised me and made me realize the scale of it was when I started learning about the songbird competition angle. This is the idea that you would catch a young songbird, usually a male, because their coloring is brighter and their songs, they are sort of like, if you think of a cockfight where you put two cocks together and they might naturally respond to each other. Similarly, if you put two male birds of the same species next to each other, they'll get territorial and start to sing. And that's the impetus for these singing competitions that can really make a lot of money. I heard from some in law enforcement and in the Cuban community that this was a really big market in Miami, and naturally my interest was piqued.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of these competitions, which I had never heard of, but let's start with this. How many different types of songbird species do we find in South Florida?
There are a lot of different species. I don't have the full number. I do know that there are 40 protected bird species in Florida that are, and most of them are songbirds, that are protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. That's the century-old U.S. law that makes it illegal to capture, kill, or possess any of these birds. And that's why law enforcement has been looking at this issue. Violators are subject to fines and possible imprisonment for up to 6 months. And then if you sell or smuggle the birds, you could be subject to felony charges, and that could result in more extensive jail time, like years.
Where do most of the trappings for songbirds take place?
All around Miami, actually. Some of it occurs in people's backyards, some of it occurs on national lands, some of it occurs, you know, illegally when people trespass on other folks' land. As I'm sure you know, since this is a Miami station, a lot of people have large blocks of property, and so you might not know that someone snuck over the fence and
hung up pretty discreet. You're saying people are sneaking into other people's yards to trap birds?
Yep, that's what I hear from law enforcement, exactly. And it's, you will put a relatively small trap that hangs from a tree, and then you'll sort of stand nearby if you're a trapper and wait for someone to for a bird to hopefully come by. These traps are kind of interesting, actually. They're homemade for the most part. They're these wooden and metal devices where you'll put a bait bird inside, meaning you'll put another bird of the same species, usually a male or a younger bird, and it'll sing out. So you're hoping you'll start attracting birds because of that. And then you'll put a bit of seed or glue or both, on top of this sort of trap door so that when a bird comes by, it'll land on it, it'll fall into the trap, and then, of course, it can't escape. But something interesting is that other creatures sometimes come to these traps as well, like snakes, for example, will sometimes hear the bird singing, decide to come investigate, and then they get inside the cage and are stuck.
Ooh, okay. You dug through tons of these cases. I'm wondering, typically, what did you see typically, or what jumped out at you?
I guess one of the things that jumped out at me when looking at some of these federal cases, so ones that are really egregious, where it's a serial offender usually who catches dozens or hundreds of birds each year, is how recently the trade has gotten so sophisticated. Law enforcement told me they were really surprised about this as well. In one case I describe in the story, one guy was hooking up to try to attract birds. He had solar-powered Bluetooth speakers that would play bird songs in the woods, and they would, you know, they would carry rather far to try to attract birds to come to the area. And just the fact that he was like integrating technology in that way to try to scale up his trade was surprising. Another gentleman described in court documents how he would essentially catch up this, he would hang these illegal giant nets across a field. It's called a mist net. It's difficult to see it. It's sort of like a spider web in the sense that you don't see it very easily. Then he would get a truck. It would be loud, and he'd drive the truck towards the net, and the birds, because this was by the woods, would come out frightened by the noise, and they'd all get caught in the net. And, you know, he'd catch dozens and dozens of these birds by using this method. And then sometimes he wouldn't remove them very quickly, and feral dogs and cats would catch them, these birds sometimes, and eat them. And so it was really just a large-scale, grotesque trade. Very interesting.
When you talk about this black market, I mean, how much can you get for a songbird? Why such demand?
So we try not to talk too much about the prices because law enforcement worries that that will help, you know, bring more people into the trade. So I don't want to provide too many details, but it is hundreds of dollars or sometimes more. The trade in Miami is primarily from the Cuban community there, meaning both people who are Cuban who live in America or second generation Cubans. In Cuba, there's a big, big culture around songbird collecting. Owning a painted bunting or an indigo bunting, those are two different species, can really be considered a status symbol. And people continue to trap in the birds here in the United States when they live here and trade them and show them off. And that's why the trade has gotten so big in Miami. Law enforcement says about 98% or more of the cases they see are folks of Cuban descent.
Now, you started to touch on this a little while ago, talking again about the laws. Let's remind ourselves of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. What is it?
Mm-hmm. So that is a century-old law. It makes it illegal to capture, to kill, to possess any of more than 40 protected birds in the United States. And if you break that law, if you catch them, if you are selling them, that can lead to possible imprisonment or it can also lead to other things like fines or community service requirements as well.
Again, I'm talking with Dina Fine-Marin. She's the wildlife trade investigative reporter at National Geographic. Recently, she reported on the thousands of migratory songbirds that are being caught in the state of Florida each year. And they are sold as pets or to sing in underground competitions. And again, there is a big black market for this. Dina, you, in your investigation, you documented a couple of experiences. You went along with an officer from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. This person was undercover. You were following two men who were illegally housing and selling songbirds. Tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Well, as you can imagine, spending time with law enforcement can be kind of a tense experience. When you're busting someone, you're not seeing them at their, you know, at their best. So they're stressed out, and I think officers can be on edge as well. But what I was really surprised about was that in both cases and in other cases that I read about in court documents, people admit that they know that this trade is illegal. They are aware that it's illegal. They've made the calculation for themselves that they thought it was worth it anyway. But in both cases that I talk about that I was there for, both gentlemen admitted both to me and to law enforcement that, yeah, they knew it was illegal, but they thought it was still worth it for them. In one case I described, there's a gentleman who's 32, and he was cited at his house, meaning law enforcement went and seized his birds and gave him a citation for each bird. And one of the birds was blind, and he said, oh, well, this is something that happens naturally over time to older birds. And it was only after we left with the bird in hand and law enforcement was planning to release some birds if they were strong enough, and if not, they were going to take them to a rehab facility. And they noticed this bird was actually missing its eyes. And they saw on the edge of the cage that there was a safety pin with colored beads on it. And they thought that that was very likely because that had been used to gouge out the eyes of the bird as part of a religious practice called Santeria, which is an Afro-Caribbean religion that involves animal sacrifice and does not typically involve animal mutilation in this way. But that's what they think had occurred with this particular bird that can never be freed now because it couldn't survive in nature.
For the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, how are they tracking? I mean, as best as you could tell me, is how they're tracking these trappers. I mean, they must know where they're going, or at least where they're trying to sell this stuff, right?
Yeah, so they do it in a couple different ways. The undercover officer I spent time with typically patrols in the woods on weekend mornings when a lot of people who do this as a hobby will come out. They'll come out early in the morning because it's not too hot out. The birds typically prefer to be out in the mornings when it's not too hot out either. So there are particular spots that are pretty popular for trapping, so they'll hang out there. They also depend on informants that tell them about people who are trading, or they'll say, oh, I got my birds from this other guy. This other guy lives over here or operates at a pet shop over here. Some of these birds are sold illegally in pet shops as well. So law enforcement really has a network that they depend on to try to get these answers. Some of the tips also come from their work with federal law enforcement. They might come across something on a federal case they're working on, decide that they want to give a heads up to their colleagues at the state level.
Now, you mentioned it a couple of times as well. There's a cultural aspect to this whole thing. And, you know, especially why we see it a lot in South Florida and in Miami, it's tied to a big part to Cuban culture.
Right.
Are there laws in Cuba about this? How do they view it there?
In Cuba, there are actually laws as well that suggest that you're not supposed to catch these, but I'm told that it's very lax by people that work in the Cuban community, and that this is the kind of ambiguous laws. They're not really enforced. I did contact Cuban government officials asking for comment for this story, and no one responded to our request. So unfortunately, their voices are not in this story, but I'm told that the laws, because they're kind of lax there, that really has set, I guess, the groundwork in some ways for people to continue to do that trapping in Cuba. And some of the problem we're seeing here in the United States is also importing birds from Cuba here into the United States. As I describe in the story, people, for example, one way that they've tried to smuggle the birds into the United States is they'll put them in hair curlers, and then they'll tape them to their legs under their clothes and hope that no one will notice.
I'm trying to picture that. I'm just trying to imagine that. That doesn't even make sense to me. My God. These musical competitions, what are they? Where do they hold these?
So these are very clandestine. I tried and tried for months to try to get access into one myself, but unfortunately these are primarily very closed affairs. Typically, I'm told, run by men, and only men attend them. They're big money affairs. And what happens is people bring their birds together that have been trained over a longer period, and again, see who can sing the longest and most ornate song. These competitions are split by species. So, for example, you'd have two male painted buntings together, or two male rose-breasted grosbeaks together, or two blue indigo buntings together. And so the hope for these traders is that they would have a bird that was really just a high performer. And the way you would get one of these high performers, I'm told by researchers that have seen this training and competitions in Cuba, where it's not as clandestine, is you would try to catch a bird when it's relatively young, a male bird again, and you would typically raise it in a dark environment at first, and you would play CDs around the clock of bird song, because birds naturally at that age will be emulating the song of birds around them. So this is sort of a facsimile of that, and you would try to get it to learn these songs, and then you would also start training it to be comfortable with like loud noises and stuff around it, so that it wouldn't, you know, get, I guess, a bit stage frighty when it was actually at the competition. And then you would, again, when one of these competitions come up, which you'd hear about from a friend or associate, you'd bring your bird to perform and hope you'd win.
I want to get the sense of, how much law enforcement is putting a dent in this, because it almost sounds like not much.
That's a challenging question. So law enforcement told me, local law enforcement, that they think that thousands of migratory songbirds are caught around Florida each year to supply this market, right? But they've only caught under a couple hundred in the last in the last 2 years. So I think that shows you that the scale versus what they're able to pursue. So make of that what you will. Unfortunately, a lot of this is people have these songbirds in their backyard. They aren't, you know, huge, large-scale collectors. They're hobbyists. Obviously, this practice is illegal, but it's difficult for law enforcement to be everywhere at once.
Are you doing any follow-ups on this? Any more investigation?
With this particular story, I am still following it. I do have a Freedom of Information Act request in with the federal government, actually, to get more information on a national scale over a longer period of time to see just how big this trade is. Because songbird competitions aren't just something that's happening here in Florida. They're something that has been reported in other parts of the country as well. New Jersey, for example, is another popular spot. And there are different enclaves of communities that collect songbirds for songbird competitions around the world, in Southeast Asia, in the Caribbean, and even the origins of some of this practice are back in Europe, actually.
Dina Fine-Marin is a wildlife trade investigative reporter at National Geographic. Recently, she reported on the thousands of migratory songbirds that are being caught in the state of Florida each year. They are sold as pets or sent to these singing competitions. You can learn more about her investigation at our social media at WLRN Sundial. Dina, thank you so much for the story. Powerful.
Thanks for having me.
All right, still to come, what are the challenges that Black-owned businesses face in getting off the ground here in South Florida? We'll learn more about that coming up next on Sundial.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.